The Baseball Today podcast is presented by Travelocity. Travelocity's new top secret hotels makes Travelocity.com the best place for hotel deals. This is Baseball Today.
First and foremost, I'm a baseball player.
Baseball's a funny game. There's a round ball that comes in a square box.
And then I ended up getting up and talking. I started to really get going, and I had to kind of cut myself off.
I know the fans are great. You know, this is where I wanted to be from day one.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hi there, welcome to the Baseball Today. It's Tuesday, April 20th, 2010. I am Eric Carabel. Behind the glass is Jay Soderberg, and we got lots of baseball to discuss on today's podcast. We'll talk about Monday's games, preview Tuesday, take your emails, whatever it is. And now we've got our guest, special guest Joe Sheehan. You know him from Baseball Prospectus over the years, and now he's an SI.com writer. Joe, welcome to the show.
Eric, I'm a big fan. I'm glad to finally be on the show.
Hey, I'm a big fan of yours, Joe, and I enjoy reading your material and enjoy having lunch with you, which we haven't done in a while. We need to do that again. Gives me a chance to get into New York. All right, let's get right into the baseball talk now. No need to talk New York. Yankees are good, you know that. But the Mets. I want to talk about the Mets a little bit. They brought up Ike Davis on Monday, giving up on the Mike Jacobs experiment early. I don't know why there was an experiment at all. You know what Mike Jacobs can and can't do. But is it too early for Ike Davis? What are your expectations, and how much can this help the Mets lineup?
Well, let's not forget. I mean, they originally planned to go with Daniel Murphy at first base. So even Mike Jacobs, I agree, they never should have brought him in. But Mike Jacobs was a patch. Frank Catalanato Sunday was a patch. I don't mind bringing Davis up. I think it's rushing him a little bit. But you're looking at a team here that doesn't have a major league first baseman. You might as well bring up the guy who's got the upside, let him learn a little bit. Maybe he catch lightning in a bottle. I don't think Davis is ready to be a star. I think right now he's ready to be a league average first baseman. And for the Mets, that's an upgrade.
And do you think he'll continue to play when Murphy is healthy, or will they send him back down?
I think that's entirely going to depend on what he's hitting when Murphy comes back. Murphy isn't a major league first baseman. He's not going to hit enough. I mean, his size makes him questionable defensively. Murphy, it's funny that they have Catalanato on the roster, because long-term, that's what Murphy looks like, a kind of a hitter without a position. Maybe he plays a little third down the road, plays a little second, but it's probably not going to be in the Mets organization.
Yeah, Cat had some good years with Texas. I mean,
yeah, well, he had to get
player
out of Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he used to take some walks. I mean, he was a decent corner outfielder for what you needed him to do. But now, what is he, 75 years old? Also on the Mets, I watched a lot of Jose Reyes this weekend, including that 20-inning game, and he just doesn't look like he's ready. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's a little bit slow, his swing. This is spring training for him, but a 150 batting average over 40 at-bats, way too early to say that, you know, he'll do that all season. But what do you think of the way Reyes has looked?
Well, there were two points that I really worried about me. One was, he had slapped a ground ball to shortstop, and I just assumed he was going to be safe because this is Jose Reyes hitting one of those four hoppers to shortstop, and he was out by a good step. And that's just not the kind of player he is. The other was, what was it, in the 19th or the 20th inning when they had Castillo bunt against Joe Mather instead of letting Reyes run? Jose Reyes should be stealing a base on the guy who's never pitched before. So those two situations tell me that Reyes, it's not just that it's a spring training. I think he literally is an average to below average runner at this point, and maybe he even shouldn't be in the majors. Maybe he should be on a rehab start, but he doesn't look like he's ready to play.
He doesn't, and offensively and defensively, he should be in the lineup today, I would assume. You did not start yesterday's game. Back to that 20-inning game, because if Jerry Manuel had done what Tony La Russa did with his outfielder and infielder pitching in that game instead of a starting pitcher, that would have been grounds for a firing. I mean, Manuel can't get a break in New York, and then La Russa throws three innings of Joe Mather and Felipe Lopez, which I feel is kind of embarrassing. You lose a game. They all count. What do you think of what La Russa did?
I don't think either manager covered themselves in glory. I thought it was one of the worst managed games I've seen since probably the 2001 World Series when Bob Brenly was running around going crazy. But you've got Manuel using everybody but Francisco Rodriguez for 18 innings, despite the fact that Rodriguez warmed up. I've seen 7 times, and I've seen 10 times as the numbers. So you let Rodriguez throw 100 pitches in the bullpen and then get just one inning out of him in the game. Bunting, like I say, against the position player, which might be the worst managerial decision I've ever seen in my life. Joe Mather couldn't throw strikes to save his life, and you're just going to give him an out. I mean, I thought that was terrible. There was other stuff in there, too. I mean, but mostly it was the management of the pitching. Obviously, La Russa had a bad day. He wanted to get Matt Holliday out of the game. I understand that Matt Holliday's been sick, but when you put the pitcher behind Albert Pujols, you're just asking for trouble, and that's what he did. Then he didn't hit Ryan Anderson twice against he let relievers bat twice in key situations. Went to Lopez, then he went to Mather. It was just a bad day overall. Here's what I don't get. If you don't want Kyle Loesch to potentially hurt himself by pitching, okay. But isn't playing left field kind of dangerous if you're a starting pitcher? I mean, Loesch made a long running catch. He also made a long throw on one of the sacrifice flies. Aren't those potentially injurious to a pitcher who's not used to doing that? To me, he would have been better off throwing 40 pitches from the mound than trying to play left field.
I was amazed that that's how Kyle Loesch was using that game. But hey, Tony La Russa, you know, he's the quote best, so he can do whatever he wants. And I don't mind Tony La Russa. I thought it was a great dichotomy here. If Jerry Manuel had done any of those things, I mean, you know, he can't get blamed for Reyes or K-Rod, he should get blamed for K-Rod. But whatever the case is, 100 pitches in the bullpen for K-Rod, he complains of a dead arm in the second week of the season. Alright, now the Mets aren't very good. I think we all know that. Their upside to me is maybe they win half their games. But the upside for the Boston Red Sox is, you know, getting into the playoffs, a wild card team, if you will. Right now, the Yankees and the Rays are the two best teams in baseball, I feel. Are the Red Sox in deep trouble at 4-9 and 1-6 at home? They just got swept in a four-game set by the Rays.
Yeah, to me that tells me more about the Rays than it does the Red Sox. The Rays, I had these three teams as the three best teams in baseball, and the fact that the Rays beat them kind of says, hey, you know, we're back from the troubles we had late in 2009. You know, everything is magnified. Eric, you know this, you're an East Coast guy. Everything's magnified when one of these teams plays poorly. But even good teams are capable of losing 9 out of 13 at some point during the season. And let's not forget, the Red Sox have started out playing the Rays twice, and the Twins. I mean, that's a tough way to start the season. Their schedule gets easier now. I think they'll straighten out. You know, they've had a couple of bad starts, Lackey, Buchholz. They've hit injuries. And the one thing that their winter moves left them open to was age and injury. Scudero's 34, Cameron's 37, Beltre's 31. They did get a lot older this winter. And we've seen Cameron have the kidney stones. You wonder if guys in their 30s are going to play the defense they did in their 20s.
How many games did the Red Sox win this season?
94.
Thank you. Because the guy behind the glass, who's a Red Sox fan, apparently doesn't think they're going to win half their games. I still think the Rays are making
just
the playoffs.
Just saying, I told you so.
You're
that's
wrong.
It.
You're
that's
always
all I'm
wrong.
Saying.
What do you mean told you so? Every expert we bring on this show says the Red Sox are good.
Well, I told them to.
You're wrong. Anyway, Red Sox, I guess they're back in action today. Let me check the schedule here. But they're, you know what? They got Baltimore in two series of the next three. Things are going to turn out fine for the Red Sox. But are things going to turn out fine for the Houston Astros? Lance Berkman apparently coming off the disabled list from his minor knee surgery today. And the Astros have a collective 525 OPS with 28 runs scored in 12 games, which is unbelievable. I mean, no matter what level of baseball, I've never seen a start like that. But I want to ask you, Carlos Lee hitting 104, Hunter Pence, Michael Bourne doing nothing. Was it all Lance Berkman's fault at his absence that the Astros didn't hit?
No, well, it's a big part of it because he's the only guy on that roster that combines on-base and power. I mean, you know, Carlos Lee is a guy who can hit for average, but he's not going to walk very much. They have 12 walks as a team, and Berkman might have that in his first 2 weeks back himself. And that's the big problem. They take terrible at-bats. They swing wildly. And without Berkman, they're just not going to get enough runners on base to support that. I mean, even with Berkman, Eric, I mean, you look at the 5 through 9, and you've got Bloom and Feliz, and you know who knows what J.R. Tolles is going to be. He's hitting .174 right now. Tommy Manzella, who they admit is just a defense guy. This team isn't going to be good even with Berkman. But with Berkman, they might win a third of their games as opposed to a quarter.
Do you believe that Carlos Lee and Hunter Pence will hit because Berkman comes back?
No, they're going to hit because that's what they do. They're going to hit. They're not hitting, unless actually Bourne is hitting. I mean, Bourne's actually the only guy on the team who is hitting, him and Kepinger. Carlos Lee isn't not hitting because Berkman's not there. I don't believe in protection in any way, shape, or form other than intentional walks, and we saw this with Poole. If you put a bad hitter behind a good hitter, that hitter's walk rate and intentional walk rate will go up, but his batting average and slugging won't change.
All right, tell me somebody who's off to a monster start that can keep it up that we wouldn't expect. Like Franklin Gutierrez is batting .426. Scotty Pods in Kansas City is at .457, running wild, by the way. Pudge in Washington batting .450. And every time I watch Pudge, he's hitting the ball hard. Anybody off to a good start that you think can actually sustain this?
I think the one guy that I'm looking at to take a step forward this year is Carl Crawford. And the numbers aren't phenomenal to start the year, 6-for-7 on the bases, hitting 300. The power has stepped up, though. He's slugging 500. This is the thing we've always been waiting for him, Eric. I mean, you know how popular he's been in fantasy circles. He's one of the top guys in the AL in terms of fantasy value. But he's never really had that over-the-top season. And I wonder if this is the year where he's going to hit 45 doubles, 25 homers, score 115, 120 runs. I think Crawford is a guy, even though he doesn't have this 450 batting average like Pecednik does, but he's off to a good, solid start and is going to continue it.
Jason Hayward is one RBI off the National League lead, off the Major League lead. Jorge Cantu has 16 RBIs. Now, you and I both know, and I discussed this with Keith Law the other day, what a silly category RBIs really is. I mean, the object is to score runs, but you bat anybody third. You know, Rico Bronya had back-to-back 100 RBI years once. But Jason Hayward's legit. Now, I wrote a column the other day that said Chipper Jones should be leading off for the Braves, and Hayward is already their best hitter and should bat third. What do you think of that?
I don't know if I'd lead off Chipper just because I think Chipper has enough value to bat lower in the lineup. Chipper is going to hit for average. Chipper is going to have enough power to move guys around. But Hayward will eventually be moving up in this lineup. We both know this. I mean, the at-bat that he won the game on the other day against a tough left-handed reliever, Franklin Morales, going the other way on a slider. I mean, that's the kind of thing that a professional hitter in his 30s does. Morales is tough on everybody. And when you're a 20-year-old, does that to a quality pitcher like Morales, that kind of, beyond the stats that we look at, you look at a quality at-bat like that, you realize this guy has the talent. You know, Hayward's, obviously the contact rate's going to be an issue, and the reason to not move him up in the lineup is I'm not sure he's going to be able to sustain a 300 batting average. To me, in his rookie season, because of the contact rate, he's probably going to hit 260, 270 with walks and power, and that's really a guy who hits fifth or sixth for you.
Everybody talks Yankees, Red Sox, Rays, okay? But the Minnesota Twins are off to an awesome start themselves. John Roush has 6 saves and hasn't blown any. I mean, more importantly, he's pitching well. Francisco Liriano looks great. When the Twins lost Joe Nathan, did you think that was it? They wouldn't be able to win the division, or did you think somebody would step up?
Oh, no. Well, I thought that the White Sox would win the division, not because of Nathan. So I really questioned what the Twins were going to be able to get out of their rotation. I'm still a little worried about this rotation. They're so homer-prone. You know, Nick Blackburn gets a homer. Scott Baker hasn't so far, but he's done that in his history. And you wonder if they're going to be able to do that. But the one thing this team does, and they've done it going back to the days of Brad Radke, was they throw strikes. They lead the league in walks allowed. They just don't put runners on base. The bullpen wasn't going to be a problem because even without Nathan, they had 4 quality relievers, and the fact that none of them were labeled closer, that doesn't matter. You pick a guy or you don't pick a guy, but you don't worry about who pitches in the ninth inning with a 1-3 run lead. You make sure you have enough good relievers, and the Twins always had enough good relievers.
Last question for you. Orioles, they're 2-12 right now. I think they're easily the worst team in baseball. How many losses this year?
What I'm at, 98, 99. You got to remember, this is a team that's had some injuries. They miss Roberts a lot. And by the end of this year, their bullpen's going to look, their rotation's going to look a lot better. I mean, Mattis has really come into his own. They'll have Tillman up before the year is out. I think the Astros and the Royals are probably worse than the Orioles.
You do?
Yeah.
I think the Orioles are losing like 110 games. In that division, and Toronto playing well, I think the Astros are going to get hot.
Their core is pretty much already a championship caliber core. If you told me that I had to start a team with Wieters, Jones, Markakis, Mattis, and Tillman, I would take that, and I think that's what keeps them from being the worst team, as you say. Because when you've got a core like that, it's hard to really be that bad. They've got how many teams? I mean, you'd probably take the Phillies core over them.
Well, they're older, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
if you're building, you wouldn't start with the Phillies core if you're building a team. But, yeah, I mean, I like their core. I just think they're going to be in for a long, long season, which is a shame because it's a great baseball town.
It's a great baseball town. It's a great baseball park. That's the thing. When they're good again, it's going to be a great story because it's such a great place.
Maybe they could be like the Rays of 2008. All right, Joe Sheehan, baseball writer, formerly a baseball prospectus, now with SI.com. Check out his stuff. Good friend of mine. Joe, thank you for joining me on the Baseball Today.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
You got it. All right, so that was my old friend Joe Sheehan joining me on the Baseball Today, and he knows his stuff, and we'll get him on future shows to talk a little bit more. But again, like Keith Law, he says it like he thinks, honest, good stuff there, and you know, we can look through some of the stats, which I love as well. So check out Joe's work. Just Google him. He's everywhere still. All right, time for Around the Diamond.
News from around the league.
Let's go Around the Diamond.
This quote from Dustin Pedroia, when you don't show up, you're going to get beat. Doesn't matter if it's the Rays or expletive Brookline High, which is actually Theo Epstein, the quote overrated GM from yesterday's show, but he's not. That's Theo's alma mater. Red Sox are off to a tough start. I don't want to belabor the point too much right now, But it's going to get better because they're playing the Orioles. I guarantee it. And then in a week, we'll be looking at them as a 500 team. Other news going on that matters. Ike Davis looked good at the plate. As Joe said, I mean, he's not going to be Jason Hayward, I don't think, this season. But, you know, for the Mets, I mean, he's certainly an upgrade on Frank Catalanato or Mike Jacobs and Daniel Murphy, too. It's kind of a shame that Murphy got hurt. I don't think the Mets would be any better, though, if they had Daniel Murphy for the entire season. But, you know, be nice to see. How about that? Mets do get a win, 6-1 over the Cubs. That game was 1-1 in the seventh, and then the Mets exploded after Randy Wells, who's a really underrated pitcher for the Cubs. I mean, Randy Wells, I mean, he doesn't overpower you. Gets a good number of ground balls, but just gets outs. And he's one of those guys who kind of labored in the minors for a few years, and then all of a sudden, now he's good again. Well, now he's good, not even again. I mean, he's just, I don't think the Cubs expected that, let's put it that way. Angel Pagan with the home run. He should be playing every day for Gary Matthews Jr. I think he has been now. Beltran, probably another month away at least, right? Other stuff that happened, in Monday's games, the morning game, Rays beat the Red Sox 8-2. So the Rays sweep that series and first loss on Patriots Day for Terry Francona. Blue Jays win 8-1 over the Royals. And Jose Bautista hit a pair of home runs. Blue Jays 8-6, 3-5 at home. Still don't think they're winning half their games this year. Joel Piñeiro for the Angels. How about that? 7 1/3 innings, shutout innings. Gave up 9 hits, but he'll do that. He's an extreme ground ball pitcher. He outduels Dontrell Willis. It was good to see this because Dontrell pitched well enough to win that game. And Angels are starting to get hot now. They're 7-7. And later on, the Mariners beat the Orioles, which you got to do. Doug Fister took a no-hitter through 6 innings. Doug Fister? Really? About the only thing to watch on the Orioles right now is Ty Wigginton. Who is Wiggy? National League games. Cardinals beat the Diamondbacks with a couple of late runs. Brad Penny looks really good. Matt Holliday homered. And then the Padres beat the Giants. Blow the save in the ninth. Win it in the tenth. It's kind of how it works. David Eckstein with the walk-off home run. You don't often see David Eckstein hitting any home runs, let alone the walk-off home run. But I say good for David Eckstein, right? Spunky. Anything else here of note? Eric Gagne says he's retiring. And I don't know how Eric Gagne's career is going to be viewed. He's not a Hall of Famer, didn't have a long enough time, even though he did win a Cy Young, and he put up some monster numbers. What was his, how many straight games did he have a save in? It was like 90 or 84. 84 consecutive save chances. I mean, it's going to be tough for anybody to do that. I mean, even the great Mariano Rivera has never come close to that. But NL Cy Young in 2003. The problem is that later on, after that, we found out that he did some things to enhance his body that were illegal. He was named in the Mitchell Report, and he didn't deny it. And I just think that, you know, he's going to be viewed maybe as the will he be viewed as the prototypical, like, Mitchell Report, you know, closer who didn't really, you know, like, Mariano Rivera, there's nothing to sully him. You can't sully Mariano Rivera. You can't really sully Trevor Hoffman. You know, Billy Wagner's got a ton of saves in his career. But Eric Gagne, who had arguably the greatest, two or three of the greatest seasons of all time for a closer, I mean, he was unhittable. He's sullied because of what happened, because of what he chose to do. Sorry to say it. Okay, that's about it for that. Eric Gagne, retiring, and, you know, he tried. He tried to make it back, couldn't do it. That's it for news. I don't see anything else we gotta get to. Let's get the call to the pen.
You can call to the pen. You've got email.
We do have emails at baseballtoday@espnradio.com. Let's get to a couple of them now. And this is Brandon in Cincinnati. I've been a Cubs fan for as long as I can remember, and after a couple of weeks of the season, I've made a few observations. I'd like to see if you agree with me. First, Carlos Zambrano will not finish the season as our number one starter. Dempster, Lilly, or Wells will earn the spot because they are consistently better through the season. Marlon Byrd will be the third best offensive player on the team easily. He could even be the second best if Aramis or Lee has an injury problem. Last, our bullpen will give up more runs than our starting pitchers. That's hard to do. Something I'm not sure we can fix this year. It would be nice to get Heath Bell, but Marmel fell apart last year when he was taken out of the closer role and may affect his confidence. Again, thank you. That's Brandon in Cincinnati. All right, let's address his questions. Carlos Zambrano, is he the ace of the team? First of all, you don't care who the ace really is. You just want pitchers to pitch well. If you have four pitchers who are number three starters like Joel Piñeiro, you can win a division. You can win a pennant. I think Ryan Dempster is the best pitcher, the best starting pitcher on the Cubs. And I think Ted Lilly is the second best pitcher and Randy Wells is third. I think Zambrano is probably the fourth best starting pitcher. He's a little erratic, a little inconsistent. But Ryan Dempster put up decent numbers last year, and he's not prone to those awful outings like Zimbrano. I mean, Zimbrano gave 8 runs in a game earlier this season. I mean, you don't know when that's coming again. ERA will probably be in the mid-4s, I would say. Ted Lilly, by the way, you look up Ted Lilly's numbers as a Chicago Cub, they're a lot better than anybody would ever believe. Ted Lilly's really underrated. He's scheduled to come off the disabled list, I think, to start on Friday or Saturday this week, and that ought to help. Cubs could finish in second place in the NL Central. They really could. Whether that means they win 85 games or 81 games, you know, hard to tell at this point, but there's no team in that division other than the Cardinals that's really all that good. Second, Marlon Byrd, third best offensive player on the Cubs, easily. I think the best offensive player on the team when he's healthy is Aramis Ramirez. I think, yes, better than Derek Lee. But you can make a case for either of those guys as the top two options on the team. Marlon Byrd leading off now against lefties, and he's very good. You know, obviously the numbers last season in Texas, kind of, you know, good at home, not so good on the road. We've seen Marlon Byrd in Philadelphia where he wasn't such a great player. What will Marlon Byrd do? You know, third best offensive player. I mean, he's going to be a better offensive player overall than Fukudome, certainly better than Ryan Terrio, Giovanni Soto. I'd say I'd take Byrd there. Yeah, okay. I guess that says a little bit about your lineup when Byrd is the third best offensive player. I don't think I'm missing anybody there. They've nobody at second base. Not looking at anything right now. Oh, Alfonso Soriano? Yes, I'll take Marlon Byrd. Absolutely. And then the bullpen. Yes, that is your biggest problem, I think, other than Zimbrano. I mean, I think your biggest problem here is Carlos Marmol is your closer, and he's fine when he doesn't walk people. Who sets him up? John Graybow? They already put Caridad on the disabled list. They brought up this kid Gray they acquired from Oakland, and I think the Jake Fox trade. They have nobody to pitch the seventh and eighth inning. So when they have leads, they're going to need to score even more runs. I don't think the Cubs are going to, maybe second place. You know, the Astros could still finish in second place in the National League Central. I know that's going to sound crazy and you're going to write emails about it, but they're not that far out. Not that far out. I mean, certainly the Pittsburgh Pirates aren't going to finish in second place, but if you look at that division right now, St. Louis is 9-4. The Astros are only 4 games out of second place now, and that's with a 3-9 start, 0-6 at home, and it's all going to change now at Lance Berkman's back. You watch. Christine in Albany, New York. I've been a loyal listener the past 2 years, and I don't remember a time when the Orioles were rated dead last in Baseball Today's power rankings as you did in yesterday's show. We can all admit that they're a bad team once again this year, but I can't help but feel a glimmer of hope for the future. Despite having the worst record in baseball, I don't feel that they're as bad as they have been in previous years. Am I crazy? Crop of young pitchers and solid core young talent is indeed promising. Andy McPhail seems to be doing things the right way. Bullpen has been their downfall thus far. With a better bullpen and another year of experience, don't you think they can significantly improve over the next year or two? Yes, I do, Christine. In fact, Baseball Today's power rankings are just for today. As Joe Sheehan said earlier in the show, I do think that the Orioles have a nice future. It's a very nice core, and I would take, if I were building a team right now, I would take the Orioles' core over the Phillies' core. I would take it over the Yankees' old core, too. I mean, Matt Weiders is going to be probably he might be the second-best catcher in baseball as soon as next year. I can see that. I mean, after Joe Mauer, I mean, it's McCann and Victor Martinez. I mean, Weiders can be that good when you take defense into account, power. They're young pitching. I mean, Tillman, Mattis, I think they're going to be very good. I think Cam McCauley is going to develop as a closer. The problem is injuries right now, including their catalyst, Brian Roberts. The starting pitching really isn't very good. And they play in a division with, I think, 3 of the 5 best teams when all is said and done. And really, Toronto can hit. I just think it's going to be a long year for Baltimore. But yes, next year, I think they can win half the games. And it wouldn't surprise me if in 2012 this is a team that makes the playoffs. Wouldn't surprise me. This is Kevin, who says, I know it is still too early to make any real judgments on the season, but it's never too early, Kevin. But as a Detroit Tigers fan, I could not be more impressed with the start of Austin Jackson. Given the starting role as a rookie is demanding physically and mentally, I am really blown away with how Jackson has handled the early season pressure. As Jackson matures, what do you see his ceiling as? Is he your pick for AL Rookie of the Year? You know, that's Kevin in Michigan. I actually picked Scott Sizemore to win the Rookie of the Year before the season. But I would like to change it. I think Austin Jackson is just better. You know, Sizemore hasn't done a whole lot right now. And again, it's very early, so let's not go overboard here. But I have been very impressed with the way Jackson... You know, the thing about Jackson is, not only does he have speed, and he plays a prime defensive position, and plays it really well in center field, but he's taking walks. 379 on base percentage, slugging 481. I don't think he's going to hit more than 10 home runs this season. He doesn't have any yet. But he already has a couple triples. He needs to take more walks. I mean, really, that on base is fueled by his batting average. But I could see him hitting 8 to 10 home runs this year, stealing maybe 15 to 20 bases, I think plate discipline was the issue in the minor leagues, and it wasn't with Sizemore. But it's a good start, and I don't see him really tailing off. I don't think he's going to hit 333. I think he could hit 275. But yeah, he can win the Rookie of the Year. Brian Mattis looks like he's pretty good. Sizemore not off to a very good start. I must be missing somebody in the National, in the American League for rookies, but maybe we'll get to that on tomorrow's show when we bring in our old friend Mark Simon. And let's see, any more emails here? I think that was three. Was that three? One, two, three. It was. That's it. Emails are done. Time now for the View from Third.
Almost home.
Taking a look at tonight's matchup.
This is the View from Third.
Winding it down on another show, and I always seem to not give enough time for the View from Third. But let's give it some good time today. Anything on ESPN today? I don't believe there is. I'll be watching hockey tonight as well as baseball. And Phillies Braves, Kyle Kendrick on the mound with his 17.47 ERA against the awesome Tommy Hansen, who will win a Cy Young someday. So I don't really like the Phillies' chances in this game at Atlanta. How about that? But I do believe Phillies Braves is the game on Wednesday night baseball on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken. No day games today. That stinks. I love watching day games. Sticking with the National League, Jorge De La Rosa on the mound at Washington against Scott Olsen. Doesn't seem like such a fair fight. But Olsen did pitch okay in his last outing. He gave up all those runs kind of in the last inning, and the bullpen gave him up too. Dave Bush, my old friend from, I think, Conestoga High School on the other side of Philadelphia on the mound at Pittsburgh today. Homer Bailey, 0-1 with a 6.97 ERA. Is he ever, ever going to make it for the Reds? Carlos Zambrano, Mike Pelfrey. Look, I'm drawn to this game. You know, Zambrano with two decent starts and one really bad one, 9.45 ERA. Mike Pelfrey leads the New York Mets in saves, people. He has one save. He has the only save for the New York Mets. That's hard to believe. Leads them in wins and saves. When's the last time that was done in baseball? Like, get the Jason Stark on the line for that. Brett Myers on the mound against Chris Volstead. Dan Heron, always a good first half pitcher against the Cardinals. And I'm interested to see what Matt Latos does for the Padres. Not off to a very good start, but if the Padres, and the Padres aren't going to stick in this race, but I want to see how Latos is used this season as well, because I think the Padres want to limit his innings to maybe like 150, 170 or something like that. And Kyle Loesch on the mound, the noted left fielder for the Cardinals, gets back on the mound. Now, why couldn't Kyle Loesch have thrown two innings in Saturday's games? Maybe he wouldn't have been able to pitch today. He might have been moved to Wednesday. But come on. That's ridiculous. American League tonight, Dana Evelyn off to a great start, pitches against the Royals. Tim Wakefield for the Red Sox against Texas. Colby Lewis is a good young arm. You got to pay attention to people. 2-0 with a 2.19 ERA. Red Sox 1-6 at home. My Lord. White Sox against the Rays. You can make the case the Rays are the best team in baseball. They have the best record. David Price off to a very good start. Rays, Yankees, man. I could see them both winning 100 games. When's the last time two teams in the same division won 100 games? The Dodgers and Giants do it like 15 years ago, something like that. Anyway, I think the Rays and Yankees could both win 100 games. And I think the Orioles could lose 100 games. Kevin Sloey on the mound for the Twins tonight, and he needs to pitch well to keep. I mean, the Twins, I think, can run away. I don't think they're going to run away with that division, but the White Sox are already five back, and they need to play a little bit better. Let's put it that way. Scott Kazmir, the Angels, for you fantasy players, I would not activate him for tonight's game. Bad first outing, 13.50 ERA, going up against Rick Porcello. By the way, on ESPN's 30 for 30 series tonight, silly little game. I'm sure they discussed this on the fantasy podcast. You know, the title makes it, you know, a little condescending, of course, but it's about fantasy baseball, and I know colleague Matthew Berry will be on that show. I declined invitation, but, I'm gonna watch it, you know, cause that's what I do. Javier Vasquez off to a really good start for the Yankees. Now they're 9-3, and Vasquez is 0-2 with a 9.82 ERA. So could they be, you know, 11-1 if Vasquez had pitched better? Anyway, Vasquez will be fine. It's not a pressure. It's just a bad start. And later on, looks like Jason Vargas on the mound for Seattle against David Hernandez. Lance Berkman comes back tonight. So the Astros, you don't get a mulligan for starting the season 3-9, but I do think it's going to get a lot better with him in the lineup. Which, you know, is good news for Carlos Lee and Hunter Pence. Bourne has been hitting, but just not running a lot. But, you know, the bottom of their lineup just isn't very good, too. So they're not going to lead the league in hitting or anything like that. That seems like it might be just about it. Oh, by the way, what did I forget on yesterday's show? I forgot the birthdays and got some emails about that. I think yesterday was Joe Mauer's birthday. Let me just do a real quick check here and make sure. I know some of you don't really care so much about birthdays, but I think it's fun and all. And, you know, what does it take, 30 seconds? You know, if you don't want to listen to the rest of the show. You don't have to. Today's birthdays, real quickly, as my computer takes a sweet old time. Jess Todd, now a Cleveland Indian. Sean Green, not the Sean Green, I think the Mets reliever Sean Green. And Todd Hollinsworth, wasn't he a rookie of the year once upon a time? Don Mattingly's birthday today! Even my good friend Tristan Cockcroft says that Mattingly is not a Hall of Famer. Tommy Hutton, first baseman for the Phillies in the 70s, a great defensive player but couldn't hit a lick. Dave Brancroft's in the Hall of Fame, and that's about it for birthdays. And yes, indeedy, Joe Mauer's birthday was yesterday. And come on, don't say because I don't like the Twins. I do like the Twins. They're very good. Zach Duke also had a birthday yesterday. All right, that's it for the show. We went into overtime again, as I try to do every day, just to anger the guy behind the glass. Thank you to Joe Sheehan, noted baseball writer. We will have him on the show again, I promise you. And tomorrow's show, it's Wednesday, so it's Mark Simon Day, and I always look forward to that, and I know a lot of you do as well. For Jay Soderberg behind the glass, I am Eric Carabel. Have a great Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Yeah, that's what we've been looking for.